tonight, turn with me to chapter 13 in the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 13 in the book of 1 Corinthians. Found out yesterday that I'd be having the service tonight, and any preacher that gets notification he's going to be preaching, their thoughts turn immediately, seeking the Lord, what he'd have you to look at and to preach, what he'd expound to you. So didn't get many answers yesterday, but this morning early, the Lord began to deal with my heart about this subject, this passage, and it's an appropriate one for a variety of reasons. But I think as we read these verses, I hope the Lord speak to your heart. Maybe some show you some things you haven't saw in these verses, or perhaps just remind you of some things. I'm going to read the entire chapter, it being 13 verses. So beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." And Father, I beg you right before we try to preach your word, that you touch us. God, forgive us of every spot and stain. Lord, every wayward thought, every wrong attitude, God, every hasty word, I pray you'd cleanse me afresh and anew. Lord, to the end only that you be honored and glorified in these verses. Help us, Lord, to remember that which you've shown us. Lord, that which you've spoke to our hearts about. God, I pray nothing amiss would ever come out of these lips, but Lord, you'd be honored and glorified. The truth would be preached, and the Spirit of God would do his precious work in the hearts of these believers that have come out on this Wednesday night. And to that end, you'd be honored and glorified, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just for a few minutes tonight, I want to preach on this thought, love from above. It's not just a catchy title. There's a great truth that you'll see, I hope, will become evident in these verses, that love is from above. February the 14th, Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. It's a day that conjures up a lot of things. I know this is a day that evokes great joy. It's a day that evokes consternation and anxiety. In men especially, and if you're a man and you've celebrated as many Valentine's Days as I have, every one you're trying to do something maybe that'll raise your wife's eyebrow or make her think that it's a special thing, and the pressure's on. I mean, and if you're a procrastinator like myself on some of these things like holidays, they'll slip up on you. No small amount of money is spent on this day. It's one of the most expensive holidays in the year. And this day is all about celebrating what the human race calls love. It's all about love. Every card you buy, the box of candies in a heart shaped, the red roses, all of it speaks to a love aspect, a romantic aspect. And I believe the word love is one of the most used words in the English language. You think about how often you use the word love. Well, I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my children. I love my grandparents. I love my mom and dad. I love my pizza. I love that barbecue that Midway sells. I love this and that. The word love is so used so often. And at the same time as it's the most used word in the English language possibly, I believe it is also one of the most misused and misunderstood words on the face of the earth. The word love conjures a lot of things and has a lot of meanings to a lot of people. But I want to talk to you tonight for a few minutes on the biblical aspect of love. Love from above. The New Testament, as most of you know, is written predominantly in Greek. And the Greek language has three words that talks about or is translated into the English word love. And I want to look at those just for a moment as we set the stage for the verses that we're going to be going through this evening. The Greek word eros, and intellectual types, when you see that word eros, then you know immediately there's not a good connotation to that Greek word, E-R-O-S. It is the word where our English language comes, erotic. And I don't think anybody who understands what that word means sees any good thing in that word. But this Greek word eros is translated into our English word love. Let me just say that word is not found in the New Testament or in the Word of God. God, I believe, looked down, and as he was giving Paul what to write to this Corinthian church, he knew that word eros was used constantly in the Greek Hellenistic culture. They were fixated on and centered upon this word love, eros. And that is a sensual feeling, a sensual emotion, a physical love. If you know anything about ancient Greece, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. They were all about this love called eros. Much of their writings, poetry, songs, the plays that were put on, all of it was centered around the word eros. I'm glad God did not allow that in His Scripture. There's no good connotation comes from that Greek word eros. But there are two other words in the Greek language that the Bible does include and does have in it. One of these words is philio, or phileo, if you will. I'm not sure where the accent on the syllable is, but this word is used in several places in Scripture. And it is used to describe a general affection, I don't know if I want to say superficial, but a shallow love, a generalized love. Yes, it's used in places where husbands and wives is in view. It's used in places where friendship is in view. I would, if I were going to liken it today to using the word phileo, I would say, well, I love my country. That is a love that is shallow. It doesn't denote the last meaning of the Greek word that I'm going to be talking about tonight. And that's the word that describes this love. And it is a whole nother plane, a whole nother level of sensation where the word is agapeo or agape, same root in the Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar, and I don't generally get into Greek words and all of that, but in this case, you need to understand these interpretations of love. Now, let me just say this. I do not know why the scholars in King James Court use the word charity in this verses. It's not a stumbling block to me. It's not a problem for me. But know that this word charity comes from the Greek agape. It is the same word that is in John 3:16, where God said that He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It's strong throughout the New Testament, demonstrating that love that emanates and comes from God. It's a whole nother sensation. It's a whole nother level. The other